And of course, we'll be talking to him later in the programme. But first, we look at young people and work. As we know, young people are staying in full-time education for longer and longer. The average young person in Britain today doesn't get a full-time job until he or she is 20 years old. And for people who go to university, it's even later. Graduates often don't have to start full-time work until they're 23. But were things very different 100 years ago? Tony Dobson and Patricia Rice found out.
The year is 1910. You're a young person and you want to earn some money. So, how was the job scene 100 years ago? Well, the good news is, if you were lucky enough to come from a wealthy family, you probably didn't have to work at all.
And young women in rich families weren't allowed to work even if they wanted to. People thought it was wrong.
But for most people, things were different. 100 years ago, most teenagers had to leave school at 14 or 15 and get a job to help their family.
If you go back another 100 years, you find that even young children had to earn a living, often in coal mines or factories.
So, what were working conditions like for these young people? These are the words of one 8-year-old child describing her working life in 1810.
My name is Sarah. I work in a coal mine. It's very dark in the mine and I have to work without a light. I go to work at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I come out at 5:30 in the evening. I work every day except Sunday. I don't like being in the mine. I get scared sometimes because of the dark, and I'm very tired sometimes.
These terrible conditions were typical of the time, but things began to change after about 1830. Many people were very angry about what was happening, and gradually the laws changed and child labour ended in Britain.
So, is child labour a thing of the past? Let's talk to Richard Lanvin from ChildLink International. Unfortunately, child labour still exists in parts of the world, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid it does. We estimate that around 140 million children and young people aged 10 to 14 have to work. That's about 1 in 4 children in the world. Some work in factories or mines, or they help with farming.
So why is this still happening?
Well, you have to remember that many of their parents are very badly paid themselves, so they need the children's wages.
That's similar to what we heard about children 200 years ago. Are working conditions the same too?
In some cases, yes. In parts of Africa, children under 10 are working in mines. They have to work 10 or 12-hour days underground. They aren't allowed to take breaks, and they're very badly paid. They earn maybe 20 cents a day. It's really the same old story, sadly.
That's very shocking to hear, Richard. What can we do to change this situation?
We must let companies know that we don't accept this. If we find out that a company is using child labour, we must write to them and tell them how we feel. We must refuse to buy goods that use children like this, and we really mustn't give them our money if we're unhappy with what they are doing. If everyone does that, companies will have to change.
Thank you, Richard. I'm afraid that's all we have time for. And now we're going to go... And of course, we'll be talking to him later in the programme. But first, we look at young people and work. As we know, young people are staying in full-time education for longer and longer. The average young person in Britain today doesn't get a full-time job until he or she is 20 years old. And for people who go to university, it's even later. Graduates often don't have to start full-time work until they're 23. But were things very different 100 years ago? Tony Dobson and Patricia Rice found out.
The year is 1910. You're a young person and you want to earn some money. So, how was the job scene 100 years ago? Well, the good news is, if you were lucky enough to come from a wealthy family, you probably didn't have to work at all.
And young women in rich families weren't allowed to work even if they wanted to. People thought it was wrong.
But for most people, things were different. 100 years ago, most teenagers had to leave school at 14 or 15 and get a job to help their family.
If you go back another 100 years, you find that even young children had to earn a living, often in coal mines or factories.
So, what were working conditions like for these young people? These are the words of one 8-year-old child describing her working life in 1810.
My name is Sarah. I work in a coal mine. It's very dark in the mine, and I have to work without a light. I go to work at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I come out at 5:30 in the evening. I work every day except Sunday. I don't like being in the mine. I get scared sometimes because of the dark, and I'm very tired sometimes.
These terrible conditions were typical of the time, but things began to change after about 1830. Many people were very angry about what was happening, and gradually the laws changed and child labour ended in Britain.
So, is child labour a thing of the past? Let's talk to Richard Lanvin from ChildLink International. Unfortunately, child labour still exists in parts of the world, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm afraid it does. We estimate that around 140 million children and young people aged 10 to 14 have to work. That's about 1 in 4 children in the world. Some work in factories or mines, or they help with farming.
So why is this still happening?
Well, you have to remember that many of their parents are very badly paid themselves, so they need the children's wages.
That's similar to what we heard about children 200 years ago. Are working conditions the same too?
In some cases, yes. In parts of Africa, children under 10 are working in mines. They have to work 10 or 12-hour days underground. They aren't allowed to take breaks, and they're very badly paid. They earn maybe 20 cents a day. It's really the same old story, sadly.
That's very shocking to hear, Richard. What can we do to change this situation?
We must let companies know that we don't accept this. If we find out that a company is using child labour, we must write to them and tell them how we feel. We must refuse to buy goods that use children like this, and we really mustn't give them our money if we're unhappy with what they are doing. If everyone does that, companies will have to change.
Thank you, Richard. I'm afraid that's all we have time for. And now we're going to go...